and welcome. You're listening to another Damn Politics podcast. I'm your host, Holly Figueroa O'Reilly, here with my co-host,
Ann Lee.
And holy fucking hell, what a year it was this week. Let's go! First of all, I'm just going to get this out of the way. I want to take like 60 seconds and thank everybody so much for your emails and tweets and questions and recommendations and five-star ratings and reviews and all of that fun shit on Apple Podcasts, which if you haven't done, please do, because otherwise the MAGA reviews drive us down the charts and then nobody listens to us. And I mean, what do we care? We're just, we wouldn't even know about it. But I mean, maybe somebody would like to listen. Who doesn't know about it yet? Yeah. So last but not least, thank you so much to our Patreon supporters at patreon.com, another damn politics podcast. You guys keep the lights on and we really appreciate that. And thanks to our sponsor, Wine. No specific type of wine, Lily Jacob Sellers at lilyjacobsellers.com, whose rosé blend I will be drinking shortly and will be informing the tenor of the majority of this podcast, which it's kind of early for that, I know, but
hey,
what the fuck?
It's always 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
I guess. Yeah. I guess now that you, well, unless it's 5:15. or 5:20.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about Portland, but there's this one thing I just wanted to mention quickly. The Cook Political Report moved 20 congressional seats, races toward the Democrats, which is something I don't think I've ever seen before. And then I didn't think that I had. And then I looked it up and sure enough, it turns out they've never moved that many seats before. And so that bodes well for us. So as it stands right now, the Republicans need to pick up 18 seats to win the House back in 2020, which is not going to happen.
No, not,
I don't
want
to sound too confident, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we stop working, but it's not going to happen. I always play like you're losing, right?
Yeah, so, definitely. Don't ignore the polls.
Yes.
Just act like we're like Trump's going to win by a landslide. And
right.
Act accordingly.
So we're 102 days away from the election. And if you just scroll down, like in the podcast information, I'm going to have all of those seats that were moved. So you can take a look at the folks who you should be supporting.
Yeah. Daily costs. Is it Daily Kos? Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know, but I know who you're talking about.
Daily Kos, I think it's Daily Kos.
Kos,
whatever. They also moved, I think, about 20 seats yesterday, too. And I need to check their seats and see if they're the same ones as the Cook Report. So,
cool.
They moved also in the Dem direction. So it seems to be overwhelming majority of seem to be like, yeah, this is going to be a landslide for the Dems. But once again, just it's not going to be if you don't vote. You need to vote. And yeah, we need to act like we're losing.
Yep, so. Exactly. Always act like you're losing. So Portland, fuck me.
Yeah, this scary freaking time for cities right now. Portland is... You know, you said it was the test case. A spokesman, Zakir Khan, who's a spokesman for the Oregon chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations, told the Washington Post last week that he thinks Portland is a test case.
Does he?
And
yeah.
They want to see what they can get away with before launching into other parts of the country.
Yep.
And now they are because they're, what did Trump announce Monday? They're going to go to Albuquerque and Chicago and mm-hmm. Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And it's really, yeah.
They gassed the mayor of Portland last night. Like, they knew that he was there. He was there to listen to demonstrators. He was standing with peaceful protesters. There's video of it. You can look it up on Twitter or wherever. The feds knew he was there and they knowingly gassed the mayor of an American city. And that I think it's a trial balloon. Trump wants to see how it's going to go over. He wants to see if it's going to move his polls at all. And if it does, then he's going to keep doing it.
Yeah, I really hope this backfires on him. So the Washington Post, once again today, had an article about Ted Wheeler. And he said that after he was hit with the gas, the experience made him rethink the city's allowance that Portland police can use gas on protesters once a riot is declared. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, every single mayor.
You know, I wish Jenny Durkin would do the same thing for Seattle. Because she said no gas. And then I had friends who were out here in Seattle protesting. And they said that, yes, there was gas. And they took off because the police made it very obvious that, you know, they were putting on their gas masks. And then everybody's like, okay, now we're going to get gas. So they were like, it's time to go.
So, yeah, no gas and then put your gas masks on. Pretty good indicator that, yes, gas.
Yeah.
Every mayor should be made to take gas, get just a face full of it, and see how it feels, and then decide whether they want to put their constituency through that.
Yeah.
Whether that's a good form of crowd control or not.
I don't think it is, because we're seeing in Portland, it's just getting worse. Well, not worse. I mean, I'm for the protesters, but now you've got the wall of moms.
Yep.
So when you get the moms, when you get like suburban white wine moms pissed off.
Well, that's who won Trump the election in part is suburban mothers. Like,
yeah.
Because he kept saying law and order under Hillary Clinton, you know, whatever. Like he was going to be better on this kind of thing. And it turns out that he's not law and order. He's doing illegal shit and pissing off the suburban moms. He's lost, by the way, in every poll that's being done, he's lost the suburban moms. He's lost parts of the military. He's definitely lost his generals, which is scary if you think about it, because he's going to do this is it's not going to slow down. It's only going to get worse. The more desperate he gets, the worse it's going to be. And so eventually he's going to tell these generals to do something. And they're going to say no, like flat out no.
I really hope so.
He's going to say that's an order, and they're going to say no. Nobody, they're not going to start a nuclear war unprovoked without, and you know, he can't just do it on his own. He needs the generals on board. So,
yeah. I think one of the great things, though, about the wall of moms is this is such great optics for the protesters, because it's showing the country. He's giving the false narrative that these are violent protesters and they're Antifa and blah, blah, and they're terrorists, and they're not. They're just people who are pissed off and protesting how Black people have been treated in this country. And to have the optics of like his goon squad, secret police going in and gassing white women holding sunflowers. Mm-hmm. It's such incredibly bad optics that it's going to sway a lot of people who might have been on the fence to just be like, hey, that could be me. And I think it's like the greatest way these women could be allies, because they're going in and they're like, they know that the media is going to pay attention to a bunch of white women all dressed in yellow shirts.
Right.
So I think it's like a great... that was a great thing. And it's like, once again, the women are getting it done. But and every single one of them that I've read interviews with in Portland, they're like, it's not about me. It's about the Black women, the mothers who have lost their children.
Right.
And it's like, if I can amplify this, but it's not about me, this is about Black Lives Matter. And more people are saying that. And they're like, you need to know that this is what is happening in Portland could happen anywhere, and we're sounding the alarm. So,
right.
Because, like, yeah, when stuff, when the riots, well, not riots, protests were going on in Seattle here, you know, my mom was calling up and like, what's going on there? Because, you know, all the news reporting makes it sound like, you know, the whole city's under siege and blah. And it's like a really small area, like here in Seattle, like in Portland, it's a very small area over by the courthouse. And here in Seattle, in Capitol Hill, it's a very small number of blocks. And I have a good friend that lives in Capitol Hill, and I asked him, you know, did you get any tear gas in your place? Or did you get any, you know, shit? Because he's a brown person. And I said, did you get any shit walking down the street or anything? He's like, no, not at all. And the protest was far enough away from him, even though he lives in Capitol Hill, that he didn't get any tear gas or anything.
That's good.
So,
People were just talking about how it was coming up into their apartments and just it was layering all of their belongings, and they had to sleep with their windows closed, and it was warm.
Yeah, it's been warm. There was a 3-month-old baby that started foaming at the mouth because of the tear gas. And this was here in Seattle. But, you know, there's the big worry here, I think, that, you know, they could do, you know, Seattle and Portland have a lot in common. And I think there's kind of a worry that what happens in Portland could easily happen here. So I was trying to look into the legality of this. And Bill Barr went on, Face the Nation? I was looking into, like, can he do this? Can Barr do this? And yeah, does it matter? Okay, so he was on Face the Nation last month, and he claimed that in 1989, there were federal troops deployed to the Virgin Islands after Hurricane Hugo in 1989. And Barr wasn't even Attorney General then, but on Face the Nation, he said he was, but then he lied about what happened in 1989. He claimed that the federal troops in the Virgin Islands after Hurricane Hugo set the precedent for aggressive military action that's going on now. And it doesn't. What they really, in the 1989 case, George H.W. Bush invoked the Insurrection Act. Trump has not invoked the Insurrection Act. He's threatened to, but he hasn't actually invoked it. And the legality of this just seems to really be in question. I don't know what justification Barr is using. I know the ACLU is suing. I know people in Oregon are suing. Barr is distorting this, and we don't even know who these people are. They seem to be from a bunch of different agencies. On Monday, the House voted to add limits to the Insurrection Act after Trump threatened to invoke it. They approved the changes as amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act. So let's see if this passes. I think this has to go to the Senate. And Rep. Veronica Escobar, who was a sponsor of the amendment, she said, today, if the President of the United States chooses to use military force abroad, the President would have to consult with Congress. Yet that same consultation is not required for use of military force on American soil.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. So the amendment would also specify that troops deployed under the Insurrection Act are not allowed to participate in search, seizure, arrest, or other similar activity unless they are otherwise expressly authorized by law.
You mean they can't show up and arrest people and throw them into unmarked vans and take them to black sites? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that would be the thing. But yeah, so when we first heard about this, all I could think about, I think we talked about this briefly, was August Pinochet in Argentina in the 70s and 80s he disappeared, his goon squad disappeared over like 400,000 people. And there's been, you know, tons of documentaries about it. There's people who are still finding their families' remains, you know, like people who were children then, who were adults now, who are just finding their families' remains. And these people were taken away to black sites. They were tortured. They were executed. And I think it's a real, you know, after we think about, you know, if you think about what we do, like all the stuff that was exposed from Guantanamo, and you think about, like, you know, can American citizens be disappeared to somewhere like Guantanamo and tortured? It's like, it raises that real possibility. But he really doesn't have a legal leg to stand on, I don't think, despite what Barr is trying to lie about. Because it seems to be like theater for his own enjoyment and also to appeal to what little is left of his base.
Yeah. Well, you know, he did an ad late last week, and he's doing this type of thing, this type of thing he's doing in Portland, in order to get footage to put into ads. Like, here's the crazy Antifa maniacs, and they're going to rape your women and children, and they're going to, you know. But he couldn't find any because there isn't any.
Yeah.
So he took footage from a different country.
Oh, yeah, from Ukraine, right. From like 2015 or something.
Right, of people beating up a cop. And there's fucking patches of like the Ukrainian police on the guy's shoulder.
Yeah, someone blew up the patches and they're like, wow, you're not even trying very hard, because it was obviously in Cyrillic. And it's like, that's not even our alphabet, really?
It's not our alphabet. Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
I'm just waiting to see what happens next with, I think he's going to show up in Portland and, like you said, I think he's going to show up in Chicago and Albuquerque. But my husband and I were talking about Chicago this morning, and, you know, what needs to happen, by my estimation, I'm not an expert or anything, but in Chicago is you take half of the police fund.
Yeah.
And you put it into the communities by giving people money.
Yeah.
And then when, you know, universal basic income, you could pay a lot of people a lot of money and build up those communities without. And I'm not, you know, a super far left liberal. I just think that UBI in some communities makes a whole hell of a lot of sense.
Like, especially now with the massive unemployment from COVID-19 being so poorly mismanaged by Trump and his administration. Yeah, it's just there's so many people out of work.
Right.
And yeah.
So that's what needs to happen in Chicago. And that's a different case than Portland, because the, you know, people in Chicago who are protesting are, they're protesting not only for Black Lives Matter, but they're protesting against the government. And Trump says he wants to take federal agents, you know, DHS troops. And I say troops because they're troops.
Yeah.
into Chicago because of all the, you know, black on black crime and gang violence. And it's like, you know, what would help that? Back in June in Portland, there were almost no more protesters. There were a diehard 150 protesters.
Yeah.
Then they send in, you know, the fucking feds, and now you've got 6,000 protesters every night. So what do you think's going to happen in Chicago?
Yeah, nobody wanted them there. You know, the governor of Oregon, Kate Brown, is like, we don't want you here. Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler is like, we don't want you here. Everybody in Portland is like, we don't want you here. We didn't ask for you to come here. Oregon senators, like Senator Rod Wyden, said a peaceful protester in Portland was shot in the head by one of Donald Trump's secret police. Now Trump and Chad Wolf are weaponizing the DHS as their own occupying army to provoke violence on the streets of my hometown because they think it plays well with right-wing media.
Yep.
The other Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley said on Twitter, "Real Donald Trump, get your DHS lackey and uninvited paramilitary actions out of my state. Our communities are not a stage for your twisted reelection campaign." And he also tweeted, "Summary of our letter to Barr and Wolf. Your authoritarian police state is not welcome here. Get out of Oregon."
Pretty fucking clear.
Yeah. And Chad Wolf, who's the acting director of DHS, this is a quote from a Mother Jones article. "If incompetence explains how Wolf got his jump, sycophancy explains how he's kept it. Wolf oversees the Federal Emergency Management Agency, whose responsibilities you'd think he might be preoccupied with during a global pandemic. But Wolf works for a man whose strategy is to ignore mounting death tolls in favor of attacking the political left. So for July 4th, with COVID-19 cases skyrocketing, Wolf wrote a piece in the Conservative Federalist decrying the violent mob targeting statues of George Washington, one of America's exceptionally virtuous founding fathers. It read like inane right-wing virtual signaling, except that it was written by an acting cabinet secretary on a day when 589 Americans died from COVID-19. And Wolf's Twitter profile photo shows him in sunglasses and a headset as he does his very best to look very tough. From all the posturing, you might think the Homeland Security Secretary had spent some time in law enforcement. In reality, he was an airport security bureaucrat who became a lobbyist. But he's learned an important lesson. When your boss became president by pretending to be a brilliant dealmaker on television, image is all that counts.
Yep. He's from central casting. That's what Trump always says. He's from central casting. He looks like he looks the part. So let's put him. Credentials? Who needs, you know,
yeah.
Death of expertise is rampant.
Because nobody knows better than Trump about everything. You can't have anyone upstage Trump. And this dude is like showing up on Fox News and Chad Wolf showing up and like, no, we're not going to leave. We're there because blah, blah, and just spouting these crazy talking points. And it's like, nobody wants you there. People are going to sue. And
well, the head of DHS, Tom Ridge, he said, and I'm just going to read the quote because it's a good one. He said, DHS was not established to be the president's personal militia. It would be a cold day in hell before I would ever consent to be an uninvited unilateral intervention into one of my cities. Like, duh. Even the Republican Tom Ridge.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't be more Republican. He says this is a terrible idea. Everybody knows it's a terrible idea. Everybody knows it's an election strategy.
Yeah.
Why can't we stop him? Who has the authority to stop him?
There's like, got to be someone. Why can't they impeach him again? I know people are getting a little annoyed with Democratic leadership because they just keep saying, you know, well, you've got to vote in November. And it's like, you know, okay, we're going to do that. We've got that. But you also need to help us out here because
right. We've
got people in the streets getting gassed on a nightly basis. We've got people getting hit with rubber bullets. Rubber bullets can kill. There's people losing eyes. There's people being shot in the head, even though they're all like, oh, no, we wouldn't shoot anyone in the head. And it's like, then why am I seeing all these videos and photos of people who have like been shot in the head, like pretty much dead center in the middle of the forehead with rubber bullets?
Well, 18 people have lost their vision, have lost an eye because
it's crazy because they're aiming for the head.
Yep. You don't lose an eye unless you've been, you know, deliberately targeted. And there's one journalist, a woman, who really early on in May. Saw her.
Linda Tirado.
Right. She was taking video at the time, and the cop pointed his gun right at her and shot her with a beanbag or a rubber bullet and took out an eye.
Yeah, and she's blind in that eye. They tried to save it. They couldn't.
She's a journalist. Like,
yeah, she's a photojournalist. Yeah.
Fucking assholes.
And I think she said, well, at least they didn't get my, you know, she tried to joke about it. She was like, at least they didn't get her eye that she takes photos with, you know, like mm-hmm. her camera eye.
Yeah.
But
still.
Oh, the thing that gets me, too, is like these people are not trained at all. You've got like a mixture of like Customs and Border Patrol and Homeland Security and just people who are not equipped for the city policing. They're on like the border and, you know, I think they're like a little taken aback because they're used to terrorizing people who are trying to immigrate into the country from, you know, Latin America and Mexico. And they're used to, you know, these people who probably all they own is like the shirt on their back. And so, you know, you've got Portland where you've got people coming out with whatchamacallit, leaf blowers and blowing the tear gas right back at these stormtroopers, and they're all like, oh my God, how dare they do that? And it's like, you're attacking American citizens. This is like, we're not going to take it laying down. You can't threaten and harass us like you can non-citizens, you know, and we refuse to be locked up in concentration camps like you're doing to, you know, kids at the border and their families.
Yesterday during the there's a joint briefing, like a press conference that Chad Wolf gave with the heads of FPS and CBP, who are apparently they are all, like you were saying, commingling. And so you can't tell who's who.
Yeah.
And he said that they are proactively arresting people, meaning before the crime occurs.
Yeah, like, and that's like Minority Report. It's like
that's what people were saying. Like, I haven't seen that movie, so I don't know. But I guess that thought police.
So the movie, I think, was based on a Philip K. Dick novel, and it was basically like you have like these psychics who are like precogs. I think they call them precog, like precognition,
right.
And they set them in like these swimming pools with their heads trapped, you know, like fed into the system. And they basically are kept alive through I don't know what, and they all their precognitive dreams can be recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if like say some guy is about to murder his wife, they'll like film it from the psychic's head, and then like they upload it to all the cops. Whatever phones or whatever gear they have, high tech gear, and then they go and preemptively arrest the dude who's going to kill his wife. So yeah. Anyway, long drawn out explanation of that movie,
no, but it was that's a pretty fine. That was pretty succinct, actually.
It was a pretty bad movie, I thought, but yeah, it's.
I don't watch Tom Cruise movies because of their Tom Cruise in them.
Yeah, I don't either. I watched this one, I think, under duress, and I don't watch Tom Cruise movies because I'm so against Scientology. and I just hate Tom Cruise. Is always like, it's like I just don't like him as an actor, and I don't like his Scientology cult scam.
Yeah, so. No, I don't like anything about him. So the moment we stopped recording, like literally the moment, a headline came out in Talking Points memo, and it says, Inspector General announces probe into DOJ use of force in Portland and D.C. protests, which is pretty much what we were asking for in earlier on. Just really briefly, the Justice Department's Office of Inspector General announced Thursday launched an investigation into the department's use of force in the recent protest in Portland and D.C., including how law enforcement cleared out Lafayette Square in front of the White House in June. And you know how much Trump loves inspectors general. They are just his favorite thing. So the review, and this is directly from the press release, the review will examine the DOJ's and its law enforcement components' roles and responsibilities in responding to protest activity and civil unrest in Washington, D.C. and in Portland, Oregon, over the prior 2 months. So Michael Horowitz has got a lot. Michael Horowitz is the inspector general of the DOJ, and he's got a lot of work ahead of him. And hopefully he doesn't get canned before he gets to do his work. But watch for that to happen. Probably will. Thank you so much to our Patreon supporters, Angie Scar, Carrie Blackmore, Lauren Val Langmuir, Mary Hollinger, Christy Gagne, Gregory Gagarin, G.B. Wolf, Chrissy N.C., Catherine Margaronis, Juliana Kennedy, Peter, Scott Weiland, and Darius Zarufi. Thank you so much. We literally could not do this without you. Thank you. Bye. And everybody knows.
Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows that the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling, like a father or the dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. And everybody knows. And everybody knows that you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful, give or take a night or two. Everybody knows you've been discreet. So many people you just had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Me or you. Everybody knows that you live forever when you've done a line or two. Everybody knows the deal is rotten. Old Black Joe's still picking cotton for your ribbons and bows. And everybody knows. And everybody knows that the plague is coming. And everybody knows that it's moving fast. Everybody knows a naked man and woman are just a shining artifact of the past. Everybody knows the scene is dead. There's gonna be a meter on your bed that will disclose what everybody knows. And everybody knows that you're in trouble. And everybody knows what you've been through. From the bloody cross on top of Calvary to the beach of Malibu. And everybody knows it's coming apart. Take one last look at this sacred heart before it blows. And everybody knows. Everybody knows.